Our scripture reading today is found in Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to read the first seven verses of the prophecy. This is the word of God. "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And the Lord will bless his truth to all our hearts. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. If you've been journeying with us over the last number of Sundays, then you'll know that we've been thinking about our emotions. One of the most intrinsic things about being human. We've talked about sorrow and kindness and anger. Emotions most, if not all of us, have been experiencing in these last few crazy months. Today, we're going to think about anxiety. And we're using this to refer to a family of emotions ranging from tension and nervousness through anxiety to fright, panic, and all-out fear. Apparently, anxiety is at epidemic levels in the UK right now. The website of the Mental Health Foundation defines anxiety as, quote, "a type of fear usually associated with the thought of a threat or something going wrong in the future, but can also arise from something happening right now." On the website, we discover that in 2013, there were some 8.2 million cases of anxiety in the United Kingdom, with women almost twice as likely to suffer from it than men. I'm going to guess that the COVID-19 outbreak will have increased anxiety's prevalence among us. Indeed, for many, that anxiety has become unvarnished fear. I was talking to a member of the congregation just a couple of weeks ago. She is one of the 1.5 million people whom the UK government instructed to shelter for the duration of the pandemic. She hasn't been out of the house for weeks. She is normally a fit and healthy person, but she has a medical condition which puts her at risk from the present virus. And I was chatting to her on the phone the other day, and she said to me, "I can't imagine myself ever sitting in that church again with all those people so close to me." Anxiety, fear, it's all around us in these days, and it's hard to deal with sometimes. To help us think a little bit about that, we asked a couple of members of the congregation to record just a short video telling us about how their faith has helped them in the anxiety and fear that they've been facing, particularly in the work which they do over recent weeks. You're going to see them now. First of all, Phil Alexander, and then Claire Mason.
Hi, my name's Phil Alexander. I've been going to Cremonie for around 5 years with my family, my wife Lindsay, little boy Caleb, Caitlin, and Ava. I work for an organisation called Cancer Fund for Children. We support children across Northern Ireland who've been impacted by cancer. I've been with them for 10 years, and my job is chief executive there. I guess when I think about anxiety, I often feel anxious when I feel out of control. And during this time, through the shutdown, in regards to work, there was a huge element of feeling out of control. Charities have been hugely impacted financially, and they've really struggled through that. And at that time, when we first got to grips and understanding how COVID was going to impact across the whole of the charitable sector, I was feeling really anxious. I guess I have that constant battle when I have a team. I feel that they do amazing work, wanting to keep that work going. And sometimes you feel anxious about keeping the income coming into the service. I guess I've been really reassured over the past while through supportive people, colleagues, friends, family, church leaders as well. And I think I've been really reassured just learning about myself personally. And something that stood out for me is about being in Christ. So anxiety's often a big struggle, but knowing how to deal with it and address it is really important.
Hi there. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Claire Mason. I've been coming to Carmoney Church for about 8 years now. I mostly attend the 9:30 and 6:30 services. I'm a specialist physiotherapist. I work in the city hospital on the cancer wards, helping patients to regain their strength after treatment. Today we're talking about the emotion of anxiety, and Michael asked me to record a short video just of my recent experiences. So for the past 5 weeks, I have been redeployed to working in the Belfast City Nightingale Hospital based on the intensive care unit. I was really keen to help out in any way I could during the pandemic, but at the same time, being redeployed didn't come without its own worries and anxieties. I didn't know if I would be able to cope with the situation, if I would have enough knowledge and understanding to be able to help look after these very sick patients. How has my faith in Jesus helped me with this challenge, not only in work, but also living by myself and being on lockdown and at times feeling a bit isolated on my days off? Jesus, I guess, has just really stepped up and been there for me. At the start of all this, I received a message out of the blue, and it included the first three verses of Psalm 57. And in those verses, it clearly states that God will fulfill his purpose for me. And I just really felt that if God then wanted me to go and help in ICU, that he would be there right beside me, whether I felt it or not, because that's what his word was telling me. I've also been really encouraged by the prayer ministry team and friends and family that I know have been praying regularly for me. And I just want to say a big thank you for that as well. So my faith in Jesus, I've been really blessed through community as well. And then one day when I was just feeling a bit low and lonely during lockdown, I just really felt God share an image with me of him as an eagle with his wings fully outstretched, and like a small version of me just hunkered down and cuddled in under his wing for protection. And that has just really stayed with me and given me strength and reassurance and comfort when I have been feeling maybe a bit emotional at times. So my faith in Jesus hasn't meant that this last 5 weeks has been a walk in the park. It hasn't meant that I haven't had self-doubts. I haven't doubted other people. I haven't worried. But it has meant that I do know deep in my heart that he has been walking right beside me every day. And on the days when I haven't had the strength to maybe realise this, these are the days that he has carried me. And in some ways, that's the greatest blessing of all. If I could ask for prayer for one thing this next week, it would just be for ongoing protection and health, so that now that I'm back on my normal wards again, I can keep working and help patients to get home and get back to their families and loved ones after their cancer treatment. Thanks very much.
Thanks to Phil and Claire for sharing with us how it has felt for them in the world of the charities on the one hand and in the world of the National Health Service on the other hand. Please pray for people like Phil and Claire in the circumstances they find themselves in. See, when we think about fear, fear is an emotion we can't avoid, no matter who we are. Fear is involuntary. You remember that story in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where David is sent by his dad to take provisions to his other sons, who are garrisoned with the Israelite army in the Valley of Elah. And David arrives early in the morning, just as the Israelite army lines up in the valley. And as he comes, he watches as the Philistine champion Goliath takes his stand opposite the Israelite lines. And then we read, whenever the Israelites saw Goliath, they all fled from him in great fear. David was shocked, to see the behavior of his older brothers and all the other members of the armed forces. But the reality was they couldn't help themselves. The presence of Goliath scared the living daylights out of them. Fear is involuntary. We don't get to choose when we have it and when we don't. And fear is often irrational. Why is it that my wife fears spiders and I have to remove them from the property, especially from the bedroom, before it would be possible to settle down for a night's sleep? Of course, I can't really talk because I'm exactly the same about wasps. What is that about? It's a completely irrational fear. Of course, fear has its uses. We teach our children to fear fire, to fear predatory strangers, to fear sharp knives. And we teach them that for their own safety. But fear is also powerful and very dangerous. In the title track of Bruce Springsteen's album, Devils and Dust, he sings these words, "Fear's a powerful thing, baby. It can turn your heart black, you can trust. It'll take your God-filled soul and fill it with devils and dust." Anxiety and fear are powerful and dangerous things, and you need to do something about your anxiety and your fear. In some cases, anxious conditions will require medical help or professional help of some sort. But on top of that, what do the scriptures call us to do with our anxiety and our fear? Three things. The first one is this. The scriptures call us to honesty. It is no shame to admit that we are scared. When anxiety arises in our lives, we're inclined to remember that the Apostle Paul said these famous words in Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Simples. Except that it's not, of course. It's not always possible to face every situation of life in a spirit of thanksgiving. And when we are anxious and afraid, we may not find it possible to pray at all. Our anxiety paralyzes us. And then we feel inadequate disciples who cannot imitate the fear-free example of the apostle. Except that the apostle was not free from anxiety. Because the apostle who wrote those words in Philippians chapter 4 said in Philippians chapter 2, just a few sentences earlier, these words. "Therefore," he says, "I am all the more eager to send Epaphroditus, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety." It turns out that Paul lived with anxiety and that at times He was afraid. And he was able to admit it openly. Not just to God, but even to the members of one of the churches he planted. We love the story of Paul in the jail in Philippi, singing worship songs in chains. But what about the exact same Paul who worried about the believers he left behind in Philippi and sent Timothy and Epaphroditus to check up on them because of his anxiety and his fear? We need honesty about our anxieties and our fears. We need to be able to admit that they exist. I remember when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. I remember how shocked and surprised I was at how fearful and anxious he was. My dad throughout his life was a man of great courage. He could take anyone and anything on. And I was really shocked initially that whenever he had this cancer diagnosis, he was so completely bowled over by it and openly expressed to me on one occasion when we were sitting together his anxieties and fears about it. But when I think back on it now, I feel differently about that. I feel now that my dad's honesty about what was going on in his heart and mind, about the battle that he had now to face in front of him, the fears that were so real in his own heart, gave me the opportunity to admit mine, and I missed it. The very first thing we need to do with anxiety and fear is to be honest about it, to admit to God and to others that we have it. But then the second thing the scripture calls us to is not just to honesty, but also to attention. When we speak out our fear, we become aware of God's response. One of the most frequent expressions on the lips of the Lord or on the lips of those who spoke for him throughout the scriptures is one phrase, the phrase, "Do not be afraid." In the New International Version translation of the Old Testament, that phrase occurs 60 times, and in the New Testament, 16 times. And when you think about it for a moment, that it is God who is saying to people, "Do not be afraid," this is astonishing. I say that because the powerful of this world promote the fear of those who depend on them or over whom they rule. Much power is exercised in the world by making people who are subject to it afraid of the person who wields the power. But what is interesting about God, who possesses all power and authority in all heaven and earth, he takes the opposite tack. He does not want loyalty born of fear. In his first letter, John said this, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." This all-powerful Lord of all the universe approaches us not that he might terrorize us and bring us into subjection to him by fear, but he approaches us in love. And we need to remember that because following Jesus, we need to remember that because following Jesus can seriously raise our anxiety levels. Being a Christian isn't easy. Being a Christian is no guarantee that there won't be times when we are anxious or afraid or scared. Jesus did things that made his disciples scared. You remember the night that Jesus comes walking across the Sea of Galilee towards the disciples? And we read in the record in John chapter 6 that the disciples were scared stiff. At first they weren't sure who it was. And even when they did know who it was, they weren't quite sure what to make of it. And the scripture tells us that they were frightened. And then we read, "But Jesus said to them, 'It is I, don't be afraid.'" Jesus didn't set out across the waters to scare his disciples. But at the same time, he didn't avoid the experience that they received that night just in case it upset them. No loving parent takes his family across the Carrick or Reed rope bridge to frighten them. Any parent taking children across that bridge will know that it will be scary. But the parent takes them across the bridge because the experience of being together doing that activity will make memories for the years to come. Yes, it may be scary at the time, but the parent doesn't do it to produce fear. The parent does it out of love to produce experience and memory. Jesus walks on the water to be able to call the disciples to attend to his word. Do not be afraid. They would not forget that word. They would remember that night. They would remember how they felt. They would remember the relief at discovering that it was Christ. And they would remember his call to be unafraid. You know, it's like the way they train air pilots in a flight simulator. Because when they put the trainee pilot in the simulator, they overload the controls of the virtual aircraft so that the pilot can learn how to fly, not so that the pilot can be permanently terrified at the controls of an aircraft. Because he has rehearsed the drills, because in the virtual world of the simulator, he has seen all that could possibly go wrong. Through that experience, which is frightening at the time, he learns to fly. Every frightening moment we have is not that we might be scared of God, but that we might know we are loved. When we hear his call, do not be afraid. We are called to be honest about our fears, to admit them to the Lord and to other people. We are called to come to attention to the Word of God that reaches us in the experience of anxiety and terror and fright. God says, do not be afraid. But thirdly, the Scripture calls us to company. It's all very well and good, of course, for me to say that often in the frightening, anxious, terrifying experiences of life, those are the only places where we can begin to hear God's word, do not be afraid. But that doesn't really answer the question of how we quell our fears in moments like that. It's interesting to note in the Scriptures that God does not promise to take away the source of our fear. That's what we want him to do. We want him to make life easier. We don't want to have to face up to those anxious and frightening and fearful circumstances that sometimes come our way. And we want him to take that away, but that's not what he does, and it's not what he promises. He does something else entirely. We read it a moment or two ago in Isaiah chapter 43. But now this is what the Lord says. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. God does not remove the source of our fear. He joins us in the place of our fear. When David Watson came to write his last book, the book which tells the story of his battle with cancer, a battle which he ultimately lost, he entitled that book, Fear No Evil. That title is, of course, a quote from the most famous of all Psalms. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Every person listening to this message has been, and may be even now, in the darkest valley. It's a place of fear. And God does not say he will remove the valley from us or us from the valley. He promises to walk it with us. And that's what David Watson was telling us in the title of the book when he called the story of his journey with cancer, Fear No Evil. He was telling us that Jesus was there. Recently, someone sent me a link to the Hillsong song, Another in the Fire. Three times in the song, a refrain comes in the past, present, and future tenses. In the present tense, it runs like this. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. That song was recorded on the People album in June 2019, and it was written by Chris Davenport and Joel Houston. The song was to be performed live at the Creatives Conference that Hillsong was running just shortly after the album was released. And just before that conference was due to start, just a few days before the conference was due to start, and they were to sing this song, Chris and his wife received confirmation that their young son was autistic, and they were devastated. He called Joel and said to him that he was sorry, but that he couldn't do the song at the conference because he was scared and he was angry with God. He said to Joel, how can it be? I have done everything the Lord asked me to do. I've given my life to serve him. I've worked in his church. I've sought to do what I could to bring glory to his name. And now he has allowed this to happen to our son. I can't sing the song. But as he reflected on it over the next few days before the conference started, he realized that his experience didn't make the song untrue. The words of the song come from two Bible passages, one of which we read today. So they were true. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. That's what the scripture says. It is true. And so in the end of the day, Chris and Joel did the song because Chris said, confession precedes belief. He realized that though at that point in time it was bitter and hard for him, he could not deny the truth of the words, that there is another in the fire and there is another in the waters. The Lord deals with the water, the fire, and the darkest valley by being in it with us, and he calls us to confess it. Are you afraid? I am. Many of you have been praying for Christine and me and our family over the past 5 weeks. Unfortunately, through that time, and in spite of all your faithful prayers for us, her condition has not improved. In fact, in a series of tough blows, it has got worse. And over those weeks, I have experienced sorrow at what we have already lost. Compassion as I attempted to care for my wife. Anger as I wrestled with the injustice of her illness. And now fear, because I cannot see the Lord in this. Just after Christine was diagnosed and was in hospital, a member of the congregation sent me a message, one of those weird messages that prophetic kind of people sometimes send you as a text. And she said in the text, I don't know if this means anything to you or not, or to Christine, but she said, I got this word today and I'm just passing it on. And here was the word, when the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. Weird. Except that it wasn't weird. Because before Christine was diagnosed, I had been telling her about a cheeky robin who seemed to follow me when I had been cutting the lawn around the manse. Everywhere I went, he seemed to be just near me, looking at me. And when I received a text from this member of the congregation, Christine by that stage was in the hospital, I was sitting in the back garden reading a book, and I heard my phone ping and I pulled it out of my pocket and I read the text. And as I read the text and looked up from my book, the robin came and landed virtually at my feet and sat there looking at me. And every day ever since, when I look out of the kitchen window, when I'm preparing meals or washing up, there he is, to such an extent that even Hannah noticed his constant presence in the garden. I was talking about this at the kitchen table one day as we were eating a meal, and Christine said to me, "What do you think it means?" And I heard myself reply, I don't know where it came from, but I heard myself reply, "It means we are not forgotten, because there is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. And I'm confessing it so that I might believe it and so that my fear might be conquered." What about you? There are none of us who have not experienced anxiety and fear. For some of us, it is so bad that we need help, we need professional help to deal with anxiety conditions that have developed in our lives. But for all of us, the scripture speaks into our circumstances. And we learn there that when fear comes, we need to be honest. We need to admit that we are afraid. We need to be unashamed to say, "Things are too much for me and I'm scared." We need to tell God. We need to tell friends or those who can listen and help us. And then we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to the fact that God does not bring us into life's experiences to make us afraid. Those life's experiences and the fear that goes with them becomes the place where we hear the promise of God, "Do not be afraid." And we need to come to the place of company. There is no promise in the scripture that says that God will remove the dark valleys of life from us or us from the valleys. But there is a constantly repeated promise that even when I walk in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We need to meet that company. And when we cannot see it, and when we cannot feel it, we need to confess it until we can believe it. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that you are present in all of life. We bless you as we have thought through these human emotions to which we are all subject, that all of them have a place in the life and ministry of our Savior and throughout the whole testimony of the Scriptures. We give you thanks that you made us human, that we are who we are and what we are. We pray for your forgiveness when we are all too human and when our lives are sinfully led and our minds are sinfully constructed and our emotions are used in the wrong ways. And we ask for your forgiveness and we seek your grace. But we pray, Lord, especially just now to hear the word of the Lord, which tells us not to be afraid. We pray for people like Phil and Claire in the worlds in which they work and move, that they and everyone else listening to this broadcast now who knows those difficult situations in work and who may perhaps in the next weeks be having to return to them, that they may know that you walk with them in those places where they are. And for all of us, O God, that we might find this moment of difficulty in our own lives to be a moment of testimony. When we are unashamed to admit that at times everything that we face is way too much for us and we're scared. And that in that moment we begin to pay attention to the word that is spoken to us from the Lord, "Do not be afraid." And that as we listen, we find the courage to confess that brings us to the belief that in the darkest valley, you are there. Come now. Work your works among us, we pray. Sustain your people. Grant them your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen.